John, the 18th chapter. John chapter 18 and verse number 37. It's probably the worst time of the short life of Jesus on earth. And he says in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. His cause was to be here and bear witness to truth. Our cause is to be here and witness truth. Amen. There's nothing worse than complacency in the church. Amen. We have a sleeping giant called the church. If we would do what God wants us to do, this whole world would change, folks. It really would. An army needs to be mobilized. We are that army. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Starting in verse 23. We're talking about the challenge of David and Goliath. Verse 20 says, And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went, and Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. There's some rewards when you fight the battle. Amen. He had to leave the sheep, and he had to go out and do battle. Now, it would have been a whole lot easier just staying with the sheep. Would have been a whole lot safer. It's a whole lot easier just being in church. It's a whole lot easier just coming, going, coming, going, without really going out to do battle. And David spake to the man and stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Every time I stand behind this pulpit, I operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Not tongues and interpretation or prophecy, but word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There has to be the gift of the Spirit in operation. We can't just preach something out of the Bible except God directs us. But I remember the first time, probably 35, 37 years ago, that God used me in the gifts of the Spirit in tongues and interpretation. And I remember it so distinctly. I know where I was standing. I know what kind of service we were in. And the first words that came out of my mouth were these: is there not a cause? Church, is there not a cause? What was the cause of Jesus? He came to witness for truth. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing. Amen. Help us, God. Energize us. Allow us to see the cause, if you will. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that God is getting us ready for a great work. He said it this morning in the gifts of the Spirit. So we must be ready. And I believe it's important for you to see that the time is short. I believe you need to see that we have a responsibility to do something. This is a do something message. There are some messages that you can hear and you can catalog and you can file away, but there are some messages that says, I have to do something. Whether we understand it or not, each of us are in a battle for our lives and for the lives of people that are around us. We are threatened all of the time by those who hate our stand for God. Uncircumcised Philistines that make all kinds of threats against us. We've sang about it tonight. But even David's brothers didn't understand David's motive for being near the battle or leaving the sheep in order to get involved in a skirmish. Why do you get yourself so involved with that which is not your problem? That was really the question. You know what? You don't need to be here. Why are you investing yourself in something that isn't going to benefit you whatsoever? Well, it does benefit us when we fight God's battles, you see. Why, church, get involved with the lives of those that are around us, those people who have trouble in their lives and hurts in their lives and sickness in their lives, and we want to reach out and minister to them? Well, David answered his brothers, is there not a cause? Isn't there a purpose for me being here? You see, God has created us with a void inside that can't be filled with anything except Him. But then once we have the Spirit of God within us, we can't be satisfied with doing nothing, simply being among the sheep. There are some battles worth fighting because they involve souls for eternity. Jesus said, His whole purpose and cause for coming into the world was to bear witness to truth. Amen. Now, you can't bear witness to truth unless you have truth. Amen. If your relatives, if your friends, if your co-workers are going to be saved, they can only be saved by someone who has truth, you see. It's the only reason God left the church here on earth. He should have taken us out when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, to bear witness to the truth that we have experienced. And you can't be a witness unless you've really experienced something. You can't talk about the Holy Ghost unless you have the Holy Ghost. You can't tell people about Jesus' name baptism unless you've been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it may upset some people, but if it was the cause of Jesus, then Perhaps it should be our cause as well. Can we stand up for the giants in the land? David said to the giant, "You come to me with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord." Amen. We've got the victory. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Let me ask you this evening, do you have a cause? I mean, what is your cause? What is the most important thing in your life? Do we have our priorities right? Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added on to us." And don't take thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. But what God is saying, if we put our priorities straight, if we put God's kingdom first, then all of the things that we desire, all of the things that we are frustrated in getting that we think are going to make us happy, God can give those things. If he can give ready-made houses and vineyards and lands to the children of Israel after they crossed the water, then he can do those same things to us.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What is your cause? A purpose for your action, a principle or goal, something we serve with dedication and zeal. What is the purpose of our lives? There are so many people who are saying, "What is life all about? Is there a cause that lives beyond my life?" When you get to a certain age, you're wondering, what will my legacy be? Is it just what I have done, what I have accomplished, or do I leave a legacy? Are there people that are saved because of my witness for truth? Webster defines cause as the interest of a person or group engaged in a struggle. We have a struggle for any cause that we want. I don't care what you want in life, there's going to be a struggle in order to get it. A ground for legal action, something that produces results or some consequences, because we all have to stand up for something. Everyone needs a cause or purpose in life. It gives life a value. Save the whale. That'll make you happy. Save the owl. Oh, man, we need to raise more money because of those owls. They're not what they used to be. Save the platypus. Now, there's a good cause. There's all kinds of causes out there. A cause makes people feel valuable. If the rich and famous become rich and famous, they have to find a cause to lend their name and their fame to, because without some cause such as that, they don't feel the value, even though they have the wealth and even though they have the fame. Well, church, even though we have the wealth and even though we have the future, we still have to have the same cause that God had in order to fulfill our lives. It's not enough just to stay with the sheep. We have to leave the sheep to enter into the battle.
Amen. All right.
Because God said, hey, if you win the battle, you get the riches. You get the groom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. David said, is there not a cause? A reason for the fight or struggle? And what is the ultimate cause of life? The ultimate cause is not our personal cause, things that make us feel good or make us comfortable. And I think that's mostly what people are looking at. What can I do in order to make my life a little more comfortable? We'll make ourselves miserable in order to make ourselves comfortable. You know? You'll work every chance you get, put all of the hours in, you'll accumulate and you'll have more and more. It's like the Bible says, the man tore down his barns to build bigger barns. And God says, you fool, tomorrow I'll take your life. And then what have you got? What about eternity? It's not even the cause of a church department or an organization. The ultimate cause is the same cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. It cost him his life in order to be the witness. Our main cause is to bear witness to truth, to tell people how they can be saved. And in the process, we feel fulfilled. It fills the void that is in us. I don't know how many people have come into truth, been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. They have all of the things that we have, great church services, but yet they still don't feel fulfilled because their cause isn't the right cause. They have to have the right cause. Amen. Glory to God. This church has experienced some incredible miracles. I talked about it this morning. The Spirit of God moves mightily in our services on a regular basis, like in this song service and in the special awesome power and presence of God. We have dedicated holy saints of God, wonderful ministries, but the ultimate cause is to bear witness to truth outside the walls, not just here. If your whole ministry is based on inside this church, then you're never going to feel completely fulfilled. Have I hurt anybody's feelings yet? Hezekiah was a mighty and successful king of Judah. He was a good man. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. The Bible says that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. There were a lot of kings that didn't do what was right in the sight of God. He tore down all of the idols and their altars in the land. I mean, he really cleaned up the situation. He pointed to God. He had the law read. He even destroyed the bronze serpent that Moses made in the wilderness because people started to worship the bronze serpent as an idol instead of worshiping God. Hezekiah seemed to be a success until one day the prophet Isaiah came to him with a word from the Lord. Amen. You know why some of you don't ask God? Because you know what God's going to say. I'd rather be ignorant. And here's what it said in 2 Kings 20:1. Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, some people may say that, but when God tells you, Hezekiah reacted immediately and decisively. He instantly turned his face to the wall and wept, and he cried out to God. He cried out to God, God, please, I'm asking you to change your mind. And then he aggressively and actively sought for his life. He reminded God of all of the things that he did, all of the altars that he tore down, how obedient he was, what a good king he was for 29 years. He had destroyed the idols, restored worship of the one true God in Israel, and he pleaded with God to spare his life. He stood in the gap for himself. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. There's nothing wrong with praying for your situation, your dilemma in your life. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and is touched in all points of sin, yet without in temptation, but without sin. And he said, now you can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need. So God's inviting us to ask him to help us in time of need. God told Isaiah to return to Hezekiah and tell him 15 more years would be added to his life. Awesome. Until you get to maybe the 14th year. You know? I remember praying for a lady years ago in the hospital. I never met her. She was very sick, and she was 85 years old. And she said, Pastor, I from the inside looking out, I have no idea how I got to 85. You know, life is short. Some of you young people, you think you're going to live forever. No. Life starts to speed up about 21, and then it starts racing when you get into your 50s and 60s and 70s. And then you have to decide, what really is important in my life? I look around at the things that I've accumulated, we've accumulated in our house, and they were so important to sacrifice for, and now I think, why in the world did we ever buy that? Why did I sacrifice for those things? They're not important anymore. The only thing that's really lasting is the things that I can do for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hezekiah won a great victory because of his intercessory prayer for himself. But in the very same chapter, we read of a different reaction to some other bad news. Spies came in from Babylon to visit Judah, and Hezekiah showed them all of the treasures of his kingdom. Look what God has done for us. Look what we have accumulated. And Isaiah once again had a word from the Lord for King Hezekiah. So let's turn to 2 Kings. Not preaching long tonight. 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. Verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now, there will come a day when all that you have accumulated, everything that you cherish so much, everything that you've put under lock and key, everything that you've insured, everything that is of value, you know what? It won't mean anything when you take your last breath, folks. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in a palace of the king of Babylon. Now there is the heart of the matter. When I leave this place, I want to be assured that my children and my children's children and perhaps my children's children's children will be in God's church, safe and saved, you see. That's the only thing we can ever take from this world into the next world is our loved ones, our family, folks, and they need to be the priority in our lives. Amen. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? This time, after receiving bad news, Hezekiah reacted strangely different. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, God is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? In other words, I'm not concerned about what happens after I die. I'm not concerned about my children or my children's children. As long as peace and truth reign while I live. How sad this is. He wept and cried for his own future, but he had no tears for the future of his family or God's people. You see, is there not a cause? We had to be careful that we only intercede for our own comforts and our own causes. I think sometimes God has to arrest our attention to show us what's important in life and what isn't important. Sometimes we don't value things until it's in jeopardy. We don't value things until you think they're lost. Maybe you're not satisfied with the house you have until maybe you're in jeopardy of losing that house. Or you don't understand the wonderful relationship you have with the spouse until, well, it's in jeopardy. The things that are most important in life, well, they're for safekeeping, but there isn't anything that is more important than your relationship with God and the family that you have to keep in the church. Hallelujah. Hezekiah was righteous and accomplished much good. That's us. That's us, church. We're righteous. We try to live according to God's plan. We want to be faithful in the church. We want to do good while we live. But he was not committed enough to the ultimate cause, and that is to saving other people and even the next generation. The provision for the future. Now watch out. We are not called to build comfortable lives or even successful ministries. We are called to fulfill the cause of Jesus, to bear witness to truth. I've seen too many men and even women who are frustrated, who had successful ministries within the church, but never had any success outside the church. I told you this would be uncomfortable. But the fact of the matter is, when God told us this morning that the year 2019 was going to be our best year, that means we have to have a cause. To go outside of our comfort zone, outside of what just makes us complete in the church. We're not an aquarium. We're fishers of men. It's not just we have a beautiful glass bowl that we show off to the world every time they drive by the church. No, it's more than that. We have to get outside the church in order to have the same cause that our Lord Jesus Christ had. And yes, it's going to take us away from the sheep into a battle. But God said, you know what? I already fought the battle. I gave you the victory. Some time ago, we had a message in tongues and interpretation that said, you are too concerned with your own lives and not with the lives of others. God is calling us to a renewing of our true purpose of life, and that is being a witness that truth shall make people free. And what a cause we have. In Jeremiah 18, God sent the prophet to the potter's house to learn a valuable lesson. And I love how God uses illustrations in the Bible, everyday illustrations to show us exactly what he wants us to do. So if you turn to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, starting in verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. See, God wants to shape us and use us and form us. He wants to make us a vessel of honor, but more so a vessel that is useful, not a vessel that sits on a shelf or sits on a pew, but a vessel that contains living water that can be poured out to those that are around us. But when we struggle because we don't want to conform to what God wants us to be, well, then he has to make us into a lesser vessel that doesn't have the honor that God originally wanted. Because the clay was unyielding, sometimes it can break, and sometimes it's not useful at all. The potter had to make a different vessel from the clay than what he really wanted it to be. I don't want to be that way. I want to be conformable. I want to be pliable in the hands of God. God, what do you want me to be? We heard it this evening in the opening. God, what songs do you want to hear? We're asking God, we are waiters on you. What is it that you want rather than, oh God, we want a good service tonight. And it heals some people too. No. Merely being a vessel is not enough. It is vital that we be perfect vessels, or the vessel that God has planned for us. Hezekiah was a good vessel, but he was not the great vessel that God really intended him to be. Church, there is an ultimate purpose and cause for each and every one of our lives. I never wanted to be a pastor. I didn't even want to go to church at one point in my life or pick up the Word of God. But for some reason, I became pliable in the hands of God. Use me the way you want. I've said this before, but about 8 years before I started pastoring, I had two businesses. I didn't know which I should put myself into. And so I was asking God, and God wasn't talking to me, it seemed. And we had a group of people over to the house, and we asked, would you all pray? And God brought in a message just for me. He said this, you perceive right in coming to me for direction. You choose. As long as you do it according to my word, I will bless it. I have a work for you, but you're not ready. But when you are, I will give you perfect direction. You have to get to the place where you're willing to be ready and used of God. If you're not